Good evening. We're going to go ahead with the second half, the final half of the study on Paul's circumcision helpers. Let's look in Romans 15:16. We all set there, Lori? I think we're all set. There we go. Thank you. Romans 15:16, and Paul ministered to the Gentiles. It says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And it doesn't say of the Gentiles there. It says to the Gentiles. He's an apostle of the Gentiles. He is minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. In other places it says he's teacher and other things. But it says he's a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Now that's a specific gospel. Named that by God and inspired by God to Paul to write it in the first four verses of the book of Romans is the definition of the gospel of God. And he says, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Peter and Apollos, I should say, ministered to the circumcision. They were called to do that, and they agreed to do that. Peter ministered to the circumcision according to Galatians 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they confirmed that there was a division there, that Paul was called to go to the heathen, and he should, and that they were going to the circumcision, as Christ had originally commissioned them. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Apollos ministered to the circumcision. Talking about Apollos now, not Peter again, but Apollos. And we look in Acts for verification. Look in Acts 18. Pardon me. Acts 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Verse 26 in Acts 18. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Receive who? Talking about Apollos still. Receive Apollos, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Well, that's an integral part of the gospel of God that both Peter and Paul preached, admitting who Jesus is, or acknowledging who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Messiah. Christ is Greek for Messiah. In Acts 18:28 that we just read, Paul said to Apollos, mightily convinced the Jews. But Apollos showed no allegiance to Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. Apollos ministered to Israel. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. So all three of them, Peter, Paul, Apollos, were workers for the same Lord Jesus Christ, as we can see. Look in at the beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, the letter. Not just a letter, it's an epistle, but chapter 1, verse starting in verse 10 through verse 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together, in the same mind, and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And he presents that in a way that sounds negative, doesn't it? There are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So, and baptized, the reason that's in there, Paul was not yet teaching the absence of water baptism from the body of Christ doctrine. He does that later, though, and we'll get to that. But here, Paul is pointing to the common Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Excuse me just a minute. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. That sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 7 there that we repeat sometimes about the Lord calling them either into circumcision or into the body of Christ. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Well, which are they? Building or husbandry? Husbandry is taking care of living things. Building is stationary structures. Well, I can just see Paul there in that combined meeting teaching that he and Peter and Apollos are laborers together with God. Then he points to the gospel of circumcision believers on the one side and says, you are God's husbandry. And then Paul points over to the gospel of the uncircumcision, the body of Christ believers, on the other side, and says, you are God's building. You know what husbandry is, right, in the Bible? Look in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 10. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. And we see here that husbandry meant having vines and husbandmen to take care of the vines. Also look in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Down to verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him. That's one of the few places that little flocks, it would be the apostles here, 12 apostles, are told that Christ is in them. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Well, here we see that Jesus is the vine, and his Father is the husbandman. Jesus relates Israel to the vine, saying that they are the branches of the vine. So the husbandman takes care of the vine and the branches of the vine. The husbandman makes Israel God's husbandry. So you can understand the statement better, I hope, now. Paul continues the context in 1 Corinthians 3:9 to show what God's building is afterwards. Starting in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Again, the second ye, you are God's building, is different from the first ye. You are God's husbandry. And the other ye is God's building. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Husbandry doesn't have a foundation. The building has a foundation, though. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Every man. Now, there's one of the distinctions between Israel and the body of Christ. In Israel's church, Matthew 16, the Lord said, I will build my church. And here we're told that it's every man in the body of Christ has a part in building the church. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So you can see there, Israel is built on Jesus Christ as the foundation, and so is the body of Christ, but they're different entities. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, and if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. One of the support verses for eternal security there. He himself shall be saved. In verses 10 and 11, Paul laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. The verses 10, 12, and 14 build up the building. We in the body of Christ are builders of the building. upon that foundation. So Paul says, you are God's building. All those that separated from the apostate synagogue in Corinth, both God's husbandry and God's building, had received the milk of the word from Paul in the synagogue. The gospel of God. And first in the form of the gospel of God. And you can see that in verses 4 and 5. Acts 18, verse 1, the area where they are, they're in Corinth. And then verses 4 and 5 about the gospel of God, which was the preliminary part of his manner, the way he did things. It's those facts about who Jesus is, about Jesus being the Son of God, the Messiah, or the Christ, and that he was risen from the dead. They all had exited from the apostate synagogue in Corinth, and that was a good division. They had separated from that apostasy, that heresy. Paul had preached more of the milk of the word and the saving gospel of Christ to that meeting that had separated out of the synagogue. There were some that believed the gospel of Christ into the body of Christ. And there were some that retained their faith in Jesus, their Messiah, and his kingdom returning to reign over the earth from Israel. Now, that does not mean that Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom to them. They were learning about the kingdom in Exodus and in the scriptures in the synagogues, even though those apostate synagogue leaders did not believe that Jesus was that prophet sent like unto Moses that they would listen to. They didn't listen to him. So there were two groups in that meeting, and they were emphasizing their differences too much. They were causing, as it said in chapter 1, they were causing contention. It was a necessary thing at the beginning that they come out, and Paul was the only one there to teach them. They got to hear again the gospel of God. And soon, as you can tell from 1 Peter 1, Peter established relations with many of those areas up in there in the northern Asia Minor. So, but the emphasizing of the differences or the divisions too much is what that carnality was to which Paul referred in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Paul does not reprove them for being divided, but for being contentious. We see Paul brought about the two group meeting, or two groups that they were meeting apart from the synagogue. Paul does not reprove them for causing additional division by their carnal envying. It's not the division, in other words. They had to come out as two separate groups because they were following two separate callings. One was the calling into circumcision that had been dormant. I mean, it had been several chapters since the nation of Israel had fallen. But some of those individuals had heard the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, and weren't sure they believed it or not. And when they heard Paul come and preach it, they got sure, and they were receiving that original call into the circumcision. Not that Paul was calling them, not that Paul was preaching their gospel. They knew the gospel, they just didn't trust that Christ, Jesus was the Christ. They were all of the faith of whom Jesus was the Savior. And they realized the difference between the two groups in that meeting when they would meet together for edification from Paul. Each group knew what they had believed. To enter their own group, and those two subgroups were together there. One group believed that this would be Israel, believed that at some time Christ was coming back to earth as king to rule over them and to blot out their sins. And they believe he is the Messiah, risen from the dead, named Jesus. The other group, the body of Christ, believed that Christ had died on the cross for their sins, to save them from their condemnation, and that by believing on Christ on that basis, they are saved from God's wrath and in the body of Christ. They believed two different things, two different sets of good news for two different groups of people at two different times. Israel was ending, while the body of Christ was increasing. But they both had the same Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. As excuse me just a minute. Paul, we find that he advised in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18, they knew their calling. Which of the two callings each one of them individually had received. To them that were called being circumcised, Paul said, let him not become uncircumcised. They did not convert to believe Paul's gospel for them. They remained Jews, converted from apostate Israel to the little flock of kingdom-believing Jews, Israel, believing that they would be part of the future kingdom that Jesus, the Son of God, their risen Messiah, would bring from heaven to Israel. Paul also said to them that those that were called in uncircumcision, let them not be circumcised. No switching back and forth. So those in the body of Christ were not to try to become some sort of hybrid Israel or spiritual Israel or physical, any kind of Israel. Paul does not say that it's bad to have those divisions at that time, that brief period of time when they were both there and valid. But he does say they should emphasize their same Lord, the Lord of Paul, the Lord of Apollos, the Lord of Peter. They worked together, though. They helped Paul, knowing that Paul was preaching that Christ was the head of the body, and that it was what God was doing in that day. They also knew that Paul's gospel would be the only gospel of salvation in the very near future. But remembering their call, being circumcised, they still worked together with Paul, accomplishing menial tasks such as handling luggage, fixing the meals, making ship reservations, maybe the laundry, possibly doing security for the group, protecting Paul. So, but for more information about that, as we close here, I wanted to, let me see if I can just post this in the room, this link to further studies on this if you're interested. All right, here we go. Okay, yeah, that's about Paul's mixed multitude. It leads you to the first lesson in that. There are seven lessons, but a lot of it is revealed in the first lesson, so that it gets you a good start. All right, time for questions. I'm done with this study, and I think I think we covered it. If there are questions, we can try and add. Okay, I see the hand. Come on up, Leo.
Thank you, Mike. In relation to what you said earlier, this is what I thought I heard you say. I'd like to ask some questions on for clarification. You said at the time Paul had mentioned the things in 1 Corinthians, he was not yet teaching that water baptism was not a requirement, something to that effect. He was not yet preaching that water baptism was not a requirement for the body of Christ. Did I hear that correct? I yield the mic.
Yes. Now my voice clears up. yes, I was saying that Paul probably got that information later on. When he got to Corinth, it was Acts 18, verse 1. And he wrote to the Corinthians, wrote back to them in Acts 19. Well, between Acts 18:1 and Acts 19 comes Acts 18:22, which is the verse that makes that real brief visit to Jerusalem, and the Lord tells him, get out of here, they'll kill you for this information I'm giving you. That's not the exact wording, but it's Acts 18:22, and it's described in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. But that comes between then, and that's apparently the time when the Lord revealed to Paul that water baptism, you know, how's it worded? He sent me not to baptize. Before that, Acts 18:22, when he first visited Corinth, he was still baptizing, apparently, or his people were. He wasn't teaching against it. And then after this Acts 18:22 temple vision, he wrote back to them and then you've got, what's the verse? 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, the Lord sent me not to baptize. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of wisdom, but lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So there he does teach that he's sent not to baptize. He doesn't say he doesn't prohibit it, but it's not what he's sent to do. It's a Jewish thing. It continued as a Jewish thing, I guess. You know, Israel was passing away, the national, I shouldn't say the national, the little flock that remained was dying out. And, Israel, apostate Israel, probably continued to water baptize. I don't know. I don't think they did, because it wasn't it, I'm just trying to think. Comparing Exodus 19 with when John the Baptist came on the scene and started baptizing. They did have baptismal washings of the, you know, occasional priest that would be among the Israel people there, but it wasn't mass water baptisms like John the Baptist dispensing water baptism to everybody, because the kingdom was coming, and it was to be a kingdom of priests. And priests, Exodus 29, had to be washed and had to be anointed. They got the washing from John the Baptist and the anointing in Acts 2. But Israel fell in Acts 7. So the Lord sent Paul, saved sealed and sent Paul to us. I see your hand. Come on up.
Okay, Mike, but just to background on it, from Acts chapter 13, around verse 37 and about 38, Acts 13:38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him are all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." That's what it says in Acts 13. And then in Acts 19, just to give you a context, because I'm going to ask another question, knowing that he basically gave what was the justification by grace through faith in that saying in Acts 13. Here's something that happens in Acts 19. In 19, he came to the upper courts in 19:1, and it says he saw certain disciples, and he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." The men were about 12. Now, I want to ask you this. Being that Paul baptized here, I think of it first. I think that God was using Paul as his apostleship for the sake of being a Jew. There were no kingdom saints there, no kingdom apostles there. I see it that Paul was being used in his apostleship as an apostle unto the Jew, unto the Jews. I became as a Jew. In this context, they were disciples. They were talking about John's baptism, and even the signs and wonders were part of the things that they exhibited. The kingdom context here. Now, this is what I see it as. I see it as Paul being used as an apostle toward the kingdom saints because he was an apostle. Now, are you saying these men here became members of the body of Christ in this particular context? I yield the microphone.
No, I don't think that there's any indication that they heard or believed the gospel of Christ. And I don't see that Paul baptized anybody there. It says verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say who baptized them. And then it says, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake. That's all Jewish, like you're saying. Yeah, what is that, 19, verse 20 or so, it says, unto the Jew I became as a Jew, I think it says, is the wording. I should look that up. Let me just meander over here a minute. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Nope. 20. Yep. Let me get that posted. And unto the Jews, this is the verse you were referring to, I believe. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And note, this is all before, you know, this is toward his conclusion of the dispensation of the gospel, like an initiation of the gospel, the introduction of this new gospel to the Jew first. before in Acts 20 when he was, Philippians 4:15 refers to the event there in Acts 20 verse 6 as being the beginning of the gospel. And the gospel of Christ had already begun, so it's the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. But here, that I might gain the Jews. At this point, he was giving the Jews a last gasp, I guess, a last offer to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And the ones that were apostate or hadn't heard the gospel, they could become part of the remnant according to the choice of grace, coming into the body of Christ, believing the gospel of Christ, believing what Paul preached after he preached the gospel of God. Go ahead, Leo.
Okay, concerning what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Besides that also I, the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. Knowing that Christ sent him not to baptize, in what context would he have baptized those guys unless that was something related to the kingdom? I yield the mic.
Well, that's the same as your first question, I think. In Acts 18, when he got there and baptized Crispus and Gaius, that was before Acts 18:22, when he had the temple vision. Most probably being the time when he was told not to baptize, or sent not to baptize, but to preach. So he baptized them before he was sent not to baptize. Even at that time, you can see that he's treating it as a incidental, almost unimportant thing, and not something that he was sent to do, like the 12 were sent to baptize. It's a, I don't know, it's just, he verifies it later that he was not sent to baptize, but in mentioning people that he might have baptized, he couldn't remember. It's much different than the 12 apostles. They were accumulating baptisms. I almost likened it to some of the groups today, but that's different because they had seen the Lord, or been around. They had seen the apostles. The groups today have the benefit of being able to read about the temple vision and read what Paul said after that, Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. And so there's a dividing line there. Before that, he did baptize. After that, he didn't. That I can see anyway. So, and Paul, as far as Paul ministering to Israel, it goes so far as the gospel of God, and then he only preaches the gospel of Christ for salvation to those that have heard and believed the gospel of God, or to those who are apostate Jews that have not been called in circumcision, that have not responded to the kingdom gospel, they could become part of the body of Christ. Paul, if you look, let me get this verse on the screen here. Romans 15:20. Yet so have I strived. I've mentioned before, that's not so have I been limited to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. I mean, it's not a restriction. It's something he tries to do. I've strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. It's not a law that could be broken if he does preach to a Jew somewhere. It's just he tries to stay out of the way of the Lord's sending of Israel's apostles around, or Israel's helpers. I'm sure they had helpers like Paul did. I think John Mark would have been a helper of Barnabas there, wouldn't he? When they went off separate from Paul. Okay. any more comments, questions, or answers? All right. Thank you for your participation tonight. I'm glad for questions. They stretch our mind a little bit. Get us out of the comfort zone. But, you know, so we don't always know all the answers, but it does make us think and dig in and search.